Pastor Varun and Pastor Don LaHopperset would like to welcome you to the following message from New Hope International Church, Seattle, Washington. Here is Pastor Lau's dynamic teaching that will change your life with love, hope, and peace in Jesus Christ.
So we're going to continue the lesson about faith. And I want to remind you that if you haven't listened to the first two sessions, I recommend you listen. And you can listen again and again, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the Word of God. In this teaching, you may hear me say something, repeat again and again, because I just want you to get it. I want you to take it to your spirit. And many things in our life that we hear first time, second time, third time, and we don't get it. And when we hear about 54 times, then we get it. So God, that's why God keep repeating the same thing again and again in the Bible, so that we will get it. We're going to continue about faith tonight. And I believe that this lesson is very important. In fact, people who miss the lesson will miss a lot. Very, very important lesson. Why don't we pray and ask the Lord to help us? Father, we ask for your anointing to come upon this congregation and speak to your people, Father. We cannot teach, we cannot learn without the anointing, without your presence, without your virtue, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We pray that you will speak to your people and you will help them to understand what you say in the Bible regarding faith. We bless you. We ask you to speak to us and to talk to us and also teach us tonight. Change us, Lord, by your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Okay, I'd like to read again Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, the definition of faith. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. So again, the Bible says that faith gives substance of things you hope for, things that you have not seen yet. How you can get the unseen realm of things that you hope for into the reality of things you can touch and you can see. What is the weapon, what is the equipment as a Christian to get the things you hope and you have not seen? And that equipment that we have in our life is faith. Faith is given by God to us, that we can grab a hold of the things we hope for. If you hope for financial provision, if you hope for healing, if you hope for answer to prayer, if you hope for anointing, if you hope for whatever that the Bible promised you, in order to get that into the reality, even though you have not seen it, even though you have not touched it, you receive that by faith. Okay? Now, you need to understand, again, I want to repeat that faith says the same thing the Word of God says. Amen. Unbelief is taking side against God's Word. But faith takes side with God's Word. Amen. So, every time you have your thinking and you're saying that is not according to the Word of God, you are walking in unbelief. If you walk by faith, you will agree with the Word. You will say things in line with the Word. You will take side with the Word of God. The Word of God is the foundation. And then again, when I talk about the Word of God, I am talking about two issues here. The logo. For example, if you give tithe, God will open the floodgate of heaven and pour out the blessing upon you that you will not have enough room to keep it. That is logo. It's written word, it's settled, it's done. You don't need to argue with it. God gives written word and we take side with that written word in the Bible. That's one thing. But sometimes God gives you the word by the Spirit called What? Rhema. It's definitely Rhema. Never go against the word of God or logo. But God can tell you something specifically for certain things in your life. Like when, for example, when God told Abraham to leave the country to go to the promised land, that is Rhema for him. God never told me to leave my house yet. But for Abraham, God told him a Rhema to leave his hometown to go to the promised land. That is Rhema for him. So he takes that promise of God, he heard the word of God, and he takes side with the promise of God for himself. You see what I mean? So you need to understand that when we talk about take side with the word of God, it can be either logo or Rhema. So God's word will not work for you if you come against the word of God. God's word will work for you when you walk by faith, only when you agree with what the word of God says. This is the key. You know, we need to really watch our heart, watch our mouth all the time. You need, every time you have some thought come up, you need to ask yourself, I am thinking in line with the word of God or not? When you want to say something, you need to ask yourself, whatever you say is in line with the word of God or not? Amen. I want to stay with the word of God. Actually, I just have a conversation with Da in the car. Very simple. Da asked me, what is your vision? I said, the vision is so simple. I don't need to follow other church. I don't want to have the vision of other church. I just have the vision that Jesus say in the Bible. Matthew chapter 28. Go, make disciples of all nation. Go and preach the gospel. Very simple. Actually, you don't need to make it so complicated. Everyone evangelize and everyone make disciple. And some of them rise up to be pastors, some of them rise up to be teacher. They go out and plant church. But our job is so simple. Don't make the gospel too complicated. Go, evangelize. Today I gave out about 5 church cards to my patients. Invite them to come to church. You see, I just go evangelize. I tell people about Jesus. Today I was talking to one of my employees named John. And we were talking, I showed love to him during lunchtime. Only I and him were sitting, talking. His name is John. And at the end of the conversation, I said, John, have you gone to church? He said, no, I want you to come to know God. And I invite you to come to church. And he said, yeah, I'd like to come visit. So I gave him the card. Very simple. That is the vision for every Christian. To go and evangelize and make disciple. And then what else? We just walk the way Jesus walked. Is that right? What did Jesus do? Jesus go, preach the gospel, heal the sick, cast out demons, make disciple. I don't want any other vision. I don't want any other ways. I just want to follow the word of God. I take side with the word of God. I want to do what Jesus did, and I want to follow what Jesus said. That's it. Don't make it too complicated. You know, sometimes as humans, we make things too complicated. Amen? So, just take side with the word of God. Amen. So in order to walk by faith, we need to know the word of God. Okay, now I want to share with you something that faith is different from hope. I want to review a little bit. You cannot get anything from God by hope. You get the answer from God by faith. And you cannot get anything from God by saying, I want it. Wanting and hoping are not the key to open to the answer of the prayer. Faith is the key, not wanting. If you say, yeah, I want a Cadillac. And say, God say, no, you want Cadillac, it's your problem. It's not in the word of God. You can want whatever you want, but God say, I'm not going to give to you because just you want. And if you say, yes, I hope one of these days I'm going to be filled with the Holy Spirit speaking in tongues. You can hope for another 10 years, you will never get it. Because hope is about the future. But faith is about now. This is important. When you say, I walk by faith, I pray by faith, it means that you believe that you receive already now. What Jesus has done for you, what God has promised you 1,000 years ago in the Bible, You believe you receive now, but whatever you believe that you receive now will become materialized or become real that you can touch, you can see, you can smell later on. But faith means I have it now. It's not about I will have it tomorrow. I receive now. Amen. Don't go to God with hope. Go to God with faith. Look at Mark chapter 11. Therefore, I say to you, whatever things you ask when you pray, hope that you will receive them and you will have them. Is that right?
No.
The Bible uses what? Present tense. Believe now that you receive them now. The Bible never say hope that you will receive in the future. You believe that you receive already now. You have faith that God has given whatever God promised to you in the Bible. Amen. Anything that you pray out of the Word of God is presumption. If, for example, if I pray now that God, you give me a big Cadillac with nice marble house, that is presumption. You, whatever you pray by faith, that faith has to be hooked up to the Word of God. Amen. God need to speak, either show you in the Bible, or God specifically speak to you by His Spirit that this is for you. You don't have presumption. Presumption is not the Word of God. Okay. Matthew chapter 21 verse 22. And whatever things you ask in prayer, hoping you will receive. Is that correct?
No.
Believe it. If you want to receive anything from God, you need to believe. Hope is always future tense. But faith is now. Now, whatever you ask, according to the Word of God, you receive. And then you will have it later on. Faith comes before receiving. Faith that you receive, that you have, but that you receive comes before you have it. That is biblical faith. But human faith is it. I see it first. Then I believe. You see, that is opposite. Again, I want to say one more time. Biblical faith, you believe that you receive it first, then you have it. Human faith, you see it first, then you believe that you have it. So that is not biblical faith. You need to put the things in the right order. Amen? A lot of times people say, if I don't see, my symptom goes away, then I don't believe I'm healed. That is totally unhoping, not biblical faith. Amen. Now, look, I give you example. Look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. Am I going too fast?
No.
Am I too confusing to you? Okay. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of God. Okay, let me ask this question. How many of you in this room already have faith in Jesus? How many in this room have faith that Jesus died on the cross for you and He paid for you that you don't need to go to hell? Raise your hand up. How many people that believe that you have been saved? Okay, you believe that you have been saved, is that right? Let me ask this question. Have you seen heaven yet? Have you died and then your spirit gone up to heaven and you see heaven with your own eyes yet? Is that right? Okay. You believe that you have salvation already. You believe that you're going to go to heaven already. You believe that by through faith, you believe that your sins are forgiven. You believe that Jesus died on the cross and that death, His death on the cross paid for your sin. You believe even though you haven't seen heaven yet. Is that right? So you believe that you have salvation now. I hope that all of you don't say this. I will have salvation one of these days. Then that will be hope. You have salvation now. My salvation happened at a time in 1980 when I prayed to Jesus that Jesus come into my life. I have salvation even though I haven't seen heaven yet. So I believe I have salvation now, even though my soul, my spirit have not been in heaven yet. Is that right? Okay, so you can see that you believe that you receive now by faith, through faith, by His grace. But this is a problem. When it comes to other issues in Christian life, you don't use the same principle as salvation. It's amazing. You use the principle in the issue of salvation that you are saved now through faith. But when it comes to healing, the Bible says, by His stripes, 1 Peter 2:24, who Himself bore our sins in His own body on the tree, that we having died to sin might live for righteousness, by whose stripes, so you were healed. You know, this scripture talk about two things, forgiveness of sin, and talk about healing. And the same thing was, these two things were done on the cross 2000 years ago. It was done deal. It's amazing that the first part, you receive it by faith, and you believe that now you are righteous. Your sins have been forgiven you. You believe that you're going to go to heaven. It was done on the cross 2000 years ago. But when you come to the second part, by whose stripes you were healed, that part you struggle. Even though it's happened the same thing on the cross 2000 years ago, that on the cross, Jesus Christ, by His stripes, you were, not you will be, not you are going to be. You were healed 2000 years ago. Oh, I tell you, if you get this revelation, you're gonna live a healthy life. You know what I mean? You need to believe in your heart that you were healed 2000 years ago. And why in the world you believe that you are saved by faith, that you go to heaven, your sins are forgiven. But when you come to healing, you say, I'm not sure, I don't believe I am healed. You know why? Because you start to look at the symptom, you start to look at the number, you start to look at the report of the doctor. But you don't look at the report in the Bible, that by His stripes, I was healed. Amen?
Amen?
Hallelujah. So, I believe that God has healed people and God still wants to heal people. So, why don't we apply the same thing in the area of healing? Why don't we apply the same thing in the area of God's provision? Because the Bible said He became poor so that we might be rich, so that we might be abundant. I'm not saying that you're going to be a millionaire, but you're going to have more than enough to do good works. Is that right? So don't just hope it. Don't just hope. But believe that it was done 2,000 years on the cross, what Jesus paid for you, and you receive it now, it belongs to you, no matter what, stubbornly say, God, even though I don't see my symptom go away, I believe I already have been healed, I was healed 2,000 years ago, I received by faith the healing that Jesus paid for me on the cross. You do the same thing to salvation. In other promises of God in the Bible. And don't worry, your job is to have faith, and His job is to make it become reality in your life. You know, I learned one thing, that a lot of time people focus on the instant outcome. It's amazing, we are living in the society that people want everything instant. You go to the McDonald's, you get the instant McDonald's and fries and French fries and Coke. Number one, number two, number seven, whatever you order. Instant food. Everything instant. Everyone wants to buy a new computer that when you click on, it will come in 2 seconds instead of waiting for 5 minutes. Everything is instant. I learned lately in my practice. I learned. Lately, every time I tell my patient that I'm going to operate on your back, okay, I'm going to cut that disc out from lumbar 4 and 5, and this is what I say. Mr. So-and-so, it would take, normally your physical body will take about 3 months to heal. Don't expect to be symptom-free the next day. You know, because this has happened to me all the time, after the patient go home, on Wednesday, by Thursday, I got a phone call. Doctor, I still have pain in my leg. Everyone complained. I learned a lesson that in this society, people need instant outcome. If it's not instant, they get fussy. And that's the same attitude applied in the church. I pray that I receive healing now, but because you don't see the outcome now, you keep up your faith. You remember I told you the story about a man who died in the service. You remember last Sunday, I shared that a man died in the service, suddenly heart attack, dropped dead on the chair. Pastor R.W. Chumbak came down and prayed in the name of Jesus. Jesus no, Minani Yote, in the name of Jesus. And what? Enel Nombre De Jesus, right? In the name of Jesus. I try to learn how to say in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus, I call your spirit back. Pastor Chamba did not give up. The man did not rise up. The man still dead. He put the body on the stage and he forgot about the body. He went back home. By 3 a.m. he got up from the bed and said, "Wow, I forgot that body on the stage." You remember the story I shared last Sunday? He went back to the church and he did not find the body. The body was gone. So the next day they have another meeting in the evening. They have revival meeting. And then Pastor Chamba called people. He didn't remember the face of that man, actually, because it happened so fast. And he called whoever are happy today, come up to the stage. Seven people came up. And then he got the microphone to the first person. "Why you are happy?" And that man said, "I am happy because I died dead last night and I came back to life. I was on the way to hell. I saw hell, but you called me back by faith." You see that he was resurrected from the dead, not at that minute. But he came back later on. So this is the, you know, I remember one time I went to Pastor Benihin Crusade and in Palm Springs. And I have a big mass in my chest here. I already talked to a surgeon, good surgeon at Overlake Hospital. Then Pastor Benihin said, "Lay hand on your whatever part of your body that you want to be healed." I lay hand, I pray it by faith, I believe I receive healing. After that, the mass still there. It didn't go away right away. 2 weeks later, my son bumped on my chest. And I feel, oh, no pain anymore. Then I palpate, the mass was gone. You see, you believe and it become materialized later on, but you need to receive now. The healing was done 2,000 years ago. Amen.
Amen.
That is faith. You receive now. You just take sight in 1 Peter 2:24. By his stripes, I was healed.
Amen.
No matter, no if and no but. Stubbornly believe it. I was healed. And don't look at the symptom. Don't look at the circumstance. Just look at the evidence. You're gonna, by faith, you're gonna have the evidence of you don't see and the substance that you hope for. The substance comes after faith. Substance does not come before faith. Faith must come before substance. Amen?
Amen.
So don't look at the symptom. Miracle can happen. If God can, oh, last night I watched DVD with Pastor Caesar. He came to my house for a bridal shower. And we just sit down, watch DVD of Benihin Crusade in India. I tell you, I was crying and I saw the blind see, the deaf ear open, and I saw people get up and walk from you. Oh, I just, God, who can do it? Amen. 1.5 million people in that place. When they moved the video camera, 1.5 million. I was thanking God. You know, I want to say one thing to correct your misunderstanding. A lot of people don't want any revival or any touch of God because they have negative attitude toward evangelists in the TV. And that is a wrong idea. You know, a lot of people attack Pastor Benihin that, oh, he is a showmanship. He need to lay hand on the people on the stage and show that people heal in front of public. My dear brother and sister, I want to tell you, 2,000 years ago, Jesus preached, taught, and demonstrated. Last night when I watched the DVD and I saw all the Indian people, you know, I'm talking about Eastern Indian. When they saw miracle happen, everyone, all these Muslim and Hindu people like this. And at that time, Pastor Benihin prayed for everyone to accept Christ. 1.5 million people prayed at the same time to accept Christ that night. Because he demonstrated power of God on the stage. why we have to hide the power of God behind the curtain. We need to demonstrate the power of God in front of public. Why criticize Benny Hinn? A lot of people criticize Benny Hinn. They sit at home watching TV. They do nothing. This man fly to India to perform miracle in the name of Jesus. And all the time he talk about Jesus, he didn't talk about himself.
Amen.
Amen. So don't be negative against TV evangelists. They serve God. They're doing their job. Amen. And because of that negative, then they see the people fall under the power in his ministry. I mean, the presence of God was so strong in his ministry. All these Indian people walk close to him, almost fall. I mean, these people almost fall. You know, the power of God so strong. You know, because you saw that thing in the TV and you don't like the man, then you hook up that to the folly. And you say, "Ben Pastor Lau, pray for people. I don't want to walk out there because I don't like Benny Hinn and I don't like the falling, so I don't like what you do in this church." That is a big mistake because you miss the things that God wants to do to you.
Amen.
Amen. So please don't let the devil steal blessing from you. Take everything that God wants to give to you. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So if you are against the word of God, you will not walk by faith. You're walking down and the word of God will not work for you. So if you walk by faith, you say, "The promise of God is mine by the blood of Jesus, through the cross, by grace, and I have it now." Amen.
Amen.
I pray every single day. I believe in the promise of God. That's why you notice I rarely get sick. Because I quote the Bible, Exodus chapter 15, 26. "If you diligently heed the voice of the Lord your God, obey what he say and walk in his statute, I will not put on the diseases that I put on the Egyptian, because the Lord is the one who heal you." I believe that scripture is for me. Amen. Everyone around me gets sick, I never get sick, because I have faith that is for me. It's now. That promise of God is for me now.
Amen.
Amen. You may think that this teaching is dogmatic. It's up to you. You're going to choose this teaching or you're going to choose down teaching. I rather choose faith teaching.
Right.
I rather choose walking
Amen.
By faith.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Instead of walking in doubt and get sick and get banged by the devil and get defeated all the time. I'm going to get victory. Last night, the Indian people sing the song Victory. Oh, beautiful, in Indian. How many people want to see that DVD some of these days? Maybe we should have a show here.
Uh-huh.
Maybe. How about maybe one Friday we show that DVD?
Mm-hmm.
It's very powerful. Amen?
Okay.
Hallelujah. Now, you need to understand that faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. Next session, next faith class, which is going to happen in, I think, July or something, if I'm not mistaken, I'm going to teach you how to believe in the heart. It's not this time because I don't have enough time to share to that point. But next time we're gonna learn how to have faith in your heart. But before we go to that detail, I want to remind you again: faith is the matter of the heart, it's not of the head. A lot of Christians in the world think that they have faith. They think that they believe, but actually they don't have belief. They don't have faith. Because they just agree mentally in the head, but they don't believe in their heart. That's why they don't get the answer to their prayer. Okay? So when you agree only mentally, you're going to say like this: "Oh, I believe the word of God is true, that when they are filled with the Holy Spirit, they speak in tongues, but it's not for me. Oh, I believe the word of God is true. I agree with the word of God that God can heal people, but it's not for me. The healing is for somebody else, but it's not for me." You just agree in here, but you don't believe in here. Whenever you agree mentally in here, you don't get anything from God. You notice one thing, that every time people get answer from Jesus in the Bible, they get it by faith. You remember the woman with the issue of blood? She said that, "I believe that if I touch the garment of Jesus, I will be healed." She believed in her heart. And actually, Jesus did not even know that she is coming. But who knows? The Father So when she touched by her faith, she was healed. She did not have only mental agreement that, oh yeah, God can heal people, but my sickness is too hard. You know, I have the issue of blood. I lost all the money. All the doctors tried everything. Now I'm poor. I cannot do anything. I think my sickness is too hard. But I agree that God can heal people, but it's not for me. She did not have that attitude. She did not have the mental assent. We call mental assent. Just agree mentally. But she just have this heart. You know, sometimes I want to have a cardiac. What you call? That they chop people in the hospital. Cardiac. Who is the nurse around here? Cardiac. That when people heart stop, they chop like this. Chop people to have the heartbeat back. I'm sorry, I could not think of the word. Cardioversion. Bang! Have you ever seen that in the TV? When people stop breathing, they try to pump the heart and the heart didn't come back, so the doctor called, get the cardioversion! And they have to part, bam! The heart come back again. Sometimes I want to use that in the church. You know, people just come to God with the head. Their heart stop beating. With God, their heart is gone. I just want to, like this, cardioversion. You know, get the heart pump again. Because you need to believe God by your heart. Amen. Everything is about the heart. It's not about the head. That's why when you pray to God, that's why when you ask God in your prayer time in your closet, when you come to the altar, don't come only with your head. That's the problem with people with high education in Seattle. You analyze God, you think this and think that, that's why you don't get anything. You need to come with the heart. God, I need it. I believe I'm going to receive. Amen. I'm desperate for more things of God. I shared last Sunday. God reminded me to share again. I shared last Sunday that God shall meet all of your needs. And God told me a few days ago, God told me this. He said that, you know, people who are still baby in Christ, their needs are basic things in life. Getting a wife, getting a husband, basic thing. Money, house, a job, whatever. These are basic things. But when people grow up spiritually, your needs are not basic thing anymore. Because those things you trust God enough that God, hey, this basic thing, you're going to help you. You take care of me. I don't need to worry about it. But you know, when you grow up, your need going to be what? More anointing. More soul saved. More people get saved. More disciple made. More church planted. More work done. You're going to start to think like God thinks. Instead of thinking like a baby. Like a, just, may I have a toy? May I have milk to drink? You know, when you grow up more, you're going to think about the kingdom of God more. Your need. So you know why I love to be prayed for. Why I love to press into the altar call. I want to be prayed for by the man of God. When my friend Sin come this time, I want him to lay hand on me. Because I want the anointing of evangelist. This is my need. My need is not basic money to pay my bill anymore. My need is more anointing. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't even care about their need. They just don't ask God because they think they can help themselves. They don't humble to ask God. Humble yourself to ask God if whatever you need in your life. Amen. Faith is of the heart. Okay? Look at Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So you can see that everything pertaining the kingdom of God must be related to the heart issue. And the Bible says that whatever you believe in your heart, you speak. You can pretend to be nice and speak nice things for a while, but I can guarantee if your heart is not right, you're going to begin to speak wrong things. Because everything you say comes from your heart. So what I want to tell you is this. There are two things that activate the power of God when you walk by faith. Okay? One thing that you can activate the power or the answer for God or the hand of God to move when you walk by faith. You don't just walk by faith, you don't just believe, but one thing that you should do in order to make that faith works is to speak it. Say it. Amen. Mark chapter 11 verse 23. For truly I say to you, whoever says, everyone say says,
says,
to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. The Bible did not say whoever dream to this mountain, or dream about a mountain, or think about a mountain. The Bible says, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart. Let's say at the same time, heart.
Heart.
Doubt and faith are the issue of the heart. Amen?
Yes.
It's not the issue of the head. Keep your head at home. Keep your head back to your professor. Come to church with the heart. I just say dogmatically. I don't mean that you need to keep the head at home. But don't come to God with only the head. Okay? But believe that those things He says, will be done. He will have whatever He says. So one way to activate the power of God, one way to really make faith work, is to say something about what the Word of God says. You know why when I lay hand on people, I say fire. I don't just say fire just out of tradition. Every time I walk by people and I lay hand on people, and I say fire, I believe in my heart that the fire of God come out of my hand. And something happened. You know what I mean? It's faith. I speak it. I say heal. Bless. Touch. I say because I want to activate my faith. That things can happen. I speak it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I always say to my wife, you are healed already. You're healed.
Amen.
You're healed. Every time, whatever the report from the doctor, I don't care. I say, you're healed. I speak it. I'm not going to speak negative. I'm not going to say, you know, when I say I'm healed, you are healed. I don't mean that I deny the truth, what happened to her. But I just speak by faith. I'm not going to speak negative. I speak that my kids going to serve God. Paul, Joy, Kanida gonna grow up being in the church, serve God on fire for God. I speak it. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. I speak that God gonna give us favor here.
Amen.
God give us the favor. How many people read my email today? Amen. You can forward to your friend because I cannot send to everyone in the church. God give us favor. We're gonna have the favor from God. Amen. Hallelujah. Speak it. You speak by faith. You speak to the mountain. You speak to the situation. Amen. Yesterday, Victor Fonseca, is he here? He called me and tried to give me some kind of scary news. Some kind of worry news. I said, no. I told him, it's going to be fine. I speak by faith. Things going to turn out okay. Amen. You remember the woman, the Shebunite woman. When her son died, she said, things gonna be fine. She speak positive. She speak by faith. So you activate the power of God and your faith by speaking positive. Not speaking negative. Please. Amen.
Amen.
Speaking in line with the Word of God. That's the first one. That's the first one you do. Let's say at the same time, speaking.
Speaking.
Because the Bible says, out of abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Okay? How can I tell that you have faith or not? If you say something like this, I don't understand why I don't get healed. Oh. You say it already that you don't believe you get healed. You say what you believe. I don't understand why I don't get healed. Oh, say, you believe you don't get healed. Is that right? You already say it. You see what I mean? Your word tell what you believe. So you don't need to, you know, one thing, I want to say one thing. God is amazing that God many times work with us. You know why? God said that, pray that the Father would send laborers into the harvest field. Why? God knows already that we need laborers. But God asks us to pray. So in other words, God wants us to be co-laborers with Him. The same thing with the area of faith. You know, I want to say this. Don't blame God that you don't receive the answer. Period. It's not God's fault. It's your own unbelief. Don't blame God of anything wrong, because it's our own weakness and immaturity and unbelief. That's why we don't get the answer from prayer. I promise God that I will never blame God of anything in my life. Regarding healing, regarding the church, regarding ministry, I'm not going to blame God. I need to change. I need to repent. If my faith is not there yet to see something, I'm going to have to expand my faith to get there, to be able to get what God has for me.
Amen.
It's my job to grow and change, go up to the God standard instead of blaming God. Amen.
Amen.
So one thing, you need to have faith and you need to speak. The second thing that you need to do in order to activate faith, Acts chapter 14, verses 7 to 9, and I'm going to read verse 10 too. Verse 10. And they were preaching the gospel there. Oh, I read this scripture and think about Benihin last night. Oh, so powerful. They were preaching the gospel there, and in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb. In other words, this man never walked since he was born. Who had never walked. Wow, is that hopeless? Sound like hopeless. You think that is a hopeless situation in God? No. God can do anything. The man heard Paul speaking. You remember the Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing of the word of God. Keep hearing and hearing of the word of God. This man might have been in a meeting with Paul for so many days. My dear brother and sister, I know that you all of you, I'm not saying this to be legalistic, okay? I know that you are busy. You need to wash dishes, you need to clean your clothes, you need to run errands, you need to do that, and you need to do that. And I understand totally. For me, if I am in any church, I'm not telling you what to do, okay? I'm just telling you what I am, who I am. For me, if the church have 10 services, I will go to those 10 services, if I can. You know why? I want to be where God is, and I want to hear, keep hearing what God wants to speak to me. Amen? I want to be in every single service, because I want God to speak to me. And I want to hear so that I have more faith. I'm not telling you what to do, but that's my heart. I love to be in the presence of God. I don't mind to be in the service, in the worship service. I love it. Because I know the more I hear. Actually, last night when I watched DVD of Benny Hinn, what happened? One man, he is 80-something years old. He has liver failure, diabetes. And he came, the first service, nothing happened. The second service, nothing happened. The third service, his faith go up. Bam! He was healed at the spot. He's old, 86, but God healed him because his faith go up as he hear more the word of God. Amen. This man keep hearing. The man heard Paul speaking, heard Paul preaching. Paul observing him intently and see that he had faith to be healed. Who had faith? Paul?
No.
Jesus? Or the man? Can you blame God? No. You must have faith yourself. Don't blame the pastor. Don't blame the minister. Don't blame the preacher. Don't blame God. You must have faith for yourself. This is the big issue, you know. A lot of times people will say, oh, this man is not anointed. When he lay hand on me, nothing happened. It's not about me. It's about your faith. If you have faith, you can get anything from God. So don't blame God. Don't blame the pastor. Actually, you can get anything without even laying on a hand. You can sit at home and God can answer you. You remember when the centurion come to Jesus and centurion say, you know, my servant is sick. And Jesus said, I'm going to go to your house. He said, no, no, you don't need to go. I know that if you command, it will happen. Has his faith. Jesus did not even have to go to his house. The servant was healed at that hour because of faith. You see, the man had faith to be healed. He heard the word. He keep hearing the word. And what happened? The Bible said, Paul said in a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. When Paul say that, do you think the man was healed already? No, not yet. But by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, Paul say something, and then the Bible say he leaped and walked. So what it means is that in order to activate your faith, you must take action. Okay? Faith is active. The man with shriveled hand in the synagogue, when Jesus said, be healed, and if that man said to himself, oh, you know, this has been going on for many years, I don't think it's going to happen. I'm not going to stretch my hand out. I'm going to just walk away. I don't think he's going to be healed. He needs to take action. And God take over. The same thing. I remember God teach me how to cast out demons. And actually, I never cast out demons in my life even one time. But the camp 2 years ago, God told me to cast out demons. So I obeyed and I took action. It happened. Because you know what? I need to take action of faith. God, whatever God says, we do it. Amen?
Amen.
This story is about the man who is in a way, you know, paralyzed. He's paralyzed. But this principle applies to anything in our life about faith. If God said to Abraham, go from your city to another city, and he just sit at home, thank God you told me about the go to Canaan, but he never leave his house, nothing gonna happen. If God said, I'm gonna provide you, don't worry, you will not be poor. You're gonna have enough to feed your family. And you sit at home, never find jobs, never go out to make to earn a living. You just sit at home waiting for job to come to you. It's not gonna happen. You need to take action. If you have faith, turn on the internet, looking for job, open the newspaper, go out to apply job, go and do and work hard, go on time to work on time, work hard, and God gonna feed you because you take action of faith. That working hard, finding a job is an action of faith. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. So whatever God say to you, either through the word or through the Holy Spirit, you need to obey and take action. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Again, faith is the substance of things hoped for. Substance come after faith. Now faith. Everyone say at the same time. Now.
Now.
Not tomorrow. Faith is about now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I show you from the Old Testament. Faith must come with action and word. In order to activate the power of God, you cannot just have faith in your heart and do nothing about it. You must speak and you must take action. Okay? How many people remember the story of Jericho? Jericho is a big city, was a big city with thick wall. There's no way that wall gonna come down by just using a knife and spear. Okay? But then God told Joshua, you're gonna take this land. Joshua, have faith. It's done. It's a done deal. The land belongs to us. Then God said, go and walk. Okay, the word of God come. Go and walk around the wall of Jericho. The first day one round, the second day one round, the third day one round. And by the seventh day, you walk seven rounds. And at the end of seven rounds, you speak. Hallelujah! Whatever, shout together. You see, they activate their faith by walking. You see, in the human logic, you walk around that wall, do you think the wall gonna come down? Look like a crazy people. You walk around the wall and expect the wall to come down. Look like a crazy people. And then, You can shout hallelujah, thank God, if the wall come down first. Is that right? But they know that faith gives substance to things you hope for. They hope that the wall gonna come down. What they do first, they go by faith first. And in that faith, they took action. They walked. They shout. And then substance came afterward. The wall came down. You see the story? So what do you do when you walk by faith? You take on to the promise of God and you proclaim it. You speak it and you take action what God tells you what to do. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. You take action. I never forgot that. I just share quickly. Before 1995, how many people have been in this church before 1995? Okay, you remember very well what I'm sharing. Before 1995, this church was dry like a desert. Very dry, very mechanical. No Holy Spirit moving, people just speak in tongues, that's it. I was very mechanical. And I remember, God is so merciful to me. By around spring of 1995, John Building gave me a book to read on the way to Bangkok. I read the book called Good Morning Holy Spirit. On the way to Bangkok, when I read that book, I could not put the book down. And then I came back and God spoke to me, you need to go to this man. I came back home, I heard the voice, I didn't just have faith and do nothing. I came back and told my secretary, look for where he is, get the airplane, I'm gonna go there. I never forgot. I flew with Paul Riley and a few people, including Mike Odom. We flew to Orlando, went to that church. The first time in my life, I walked out to be prayed for by Pastor Benny Hinn. He laid hand on me, electricity came on me, bam! Since that day on, I have never been the same. Because I obeyed God. Then I feel like I was sucking, I was hitting the ceiling. I don't know what is next. Then what happened in 1997? God spoke to me very clear. Go to see this man. I took in the internet. I found that he's going to come to Portland that September. I went with Da to that meeting in September. I said, God, I want to go to the next level. I obey. I speak that I'm going to have more anointing. I speak that I'm going to do it. I'm going to take action of what God tells me to do. Didn't do job for a few days. Went there and I got what I want over there by faith. Now, God spoke to Dan and me, we're going to go to a healing meeting in Houston, Texas by the end of September. We're going to bring the anointing of healing back. Amen? This is one of the most important healing meeting that going to happen in America. The last meeting of Francine Hunter. I find out that even my Francine is going, Pastor Ronnie is going, everyone is going there. Everyone wants to get her anointing. She is one of the most powerful anointing in the healing ministry. So, and if anyone wants to get healed, you can go there because Saturday night they're going to have a healing crusade. Okay. I'm going to go from beginning. I want to be in the class to learn how to receive the anointing of healing, of all these things. Okay. So I obey. When I heard about this meeting, I and Dan look at each other's face and say, are you going? You say, I'm going. I'm going to. Boom, we booked the ticket already. We got looking for the hotel. We just take action. I'm not going to sit around at home. God tell me to go, I go. Because I want to go to the next level in the ministry. And want to bless this church. Amen. Take action. Don't just sit around. When God speaks to you at the chair, come out to be prayed for. Don't sit and just keep thinking. Get out. Do something. Step out. Take action. Amen. Hallelujah. You remember the Bible says something? The Bible says, draw near to God and I will draw near to you. Who draw near first? God or you? Okay, for the non-believers, God gonna approach them first. But for the believers, it's different. You already know God. Now it's your responsibility to draw near to God first. God's not gonna draw near to you first. You are the one who run after him. Amen. You're the one who come to the altar. You are the one who get out of the chair and come say, God, I draw near to you. I want you so badly. I want your presence. I want your anointing. I want you to touch me. Amen. The same thing. You know, in faith, you take action. You draw near. You do something. Don't just sit around. Faith without actions is dead. Take action. Amen. I am glad that I listened to me last Sunday. I called her out to be prayed for. And she took action. She drew near to God. She came to me. Bam, God touched her. And her face looked different today. Hallelujah. Amen. So faith is active. Faith is not dying. Faith is active. You need to do something. You need to take action. Amen. Don't wait for God to do something first. You do something. You take action what God tell you what to do. Okay, I'm gonna stop here for dinner. Is it a good idea?
Yes.
Okay. While we're having dinner, I'm gonna show the DVD of my... You know, how many people know that my Francine is gonna come on June 19 and 20? My Francine is an evangelist, like Ben Hinn style, you know, healing, and but he never preached in America. He only preached in the other countries. So I just want to show you maybe one script during the lunch, during the dinner break, quickly here. But I'm gonna show on, again on Saturday. Okay. God bless you. We're gonna come back at 8:10.
We trust this message has ministered to you. If you would like more information about New Hope International Church or other teaching series, please contact us at 206-275-1042 or visit our website online at www.newhopeinternationalchurch.org. You may also write to us at the following address: New Hope International Church, 9170 Southeast 64th Street, Mercer Island, Washington, 98040. Thank you very much.